when you see it as that, now changes how you act. Let's see something wherever we can close before 12. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. You ready? Are we there? Matthew 19:16. Of course, you know, you should be opening your Bibles and read. We want to study what we have sung. The church revolves around the message of Christ. In our prayers, our confession, our teachings, our songs, same thing. You can't escape it. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, based on this question, there are two possible answers you can get. Remember where we say the natural man gets two applause from God, right? One, faith in salvation. The other one, in your expression and walking in love. And both of them are actually called eternal life. Okay? Both of them are also eternal life. Now, this rich man is asking, what should he do to have eternal life? Now, there are two answers, possible answers. One possible answer is that you believe the gospel, you have eternal life. Believe the gospel, you have eternal life. The second answer can be, serve well in the gospel, and you have a reward inside eternal life. Number one, believe the gospel, you have eternal life. Secondly, serve well in the gospel, and you have a reward inside eternal life. Now, sometimes that reward in eternal life is also called eternal life. That is why some persons confuse it. The reward in eternal life is also called eternal life. Let's see an example. 1 Timothy 6. I deem this cause worthy to live for and to die for. I'm not an atheist. 1 Timothy 6. Are we there? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, is this instruction as touching salvation? Don't forget, Paul was talking to Timothy. So he's telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So will this eternal life be salvation? No, so he's talking about the reward you will get in salvation. Now, see verse 19. Oh, let me read from verse 17. You see, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in a certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, this is not just any rich man. This instruction is not just to any rich man. It's the rich man that is in church, right? Then 18 now says that they do good, they be rich in good works. That will not be what? An expression of faith, which is love. And are ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So eternal life here will be what? The reward. Do you understand? So sometimes the reward in salvation is called eternal life. That is why some persons now confuse it to mean salvation. When you now read that kind of scripture, you say, see, oh, your salvation is not sure. You have to lay hold. No, understand what it means. So, Paul was telling those rich men that there's something more valuable than their wealth. And it is a reward to be received, not just by believing. If it was by believing alone, he will not tell you lay hold on it. It's an active thing, Lambano. Hold it. Lay hold on it. And this reward, he said, more valuable than your wealth. He called all their wealth uncertain riches. That means what is telling them, don't pay attention, too much attention to uncertain riches. Rather, labor on this. It will mean that what I'm telling you to labor on cannot be uncertain as well. It's very certain, very sure. So, we said there are two possible streams of answers, right? What's the first one you wrote? Believe the gospel, you have eternal life. The second one? Serve well in the gospel and you have a reward inside eternal life. Now, that first answer is patterned after the first part of the Ten Commandments. You know, we have analyzed that this morning, faith in Christ. Believe the gospel, eternal life. That's the first four part, or the first part, which is the first four commandments. That's the first answer. Then the second stream, or the second possible answer, is now modeled after the second part of the Ten Commandments, which is your love for men. First part, believing. Second part, reward, which is based on love for men. So, let us go back. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. While I'm young, while there's yet strength in my bones, I won't waste. I'll do the work that I've been sent. You call the shots. Ooh, I won't be full of my own devices, and I will follow you and the man that you gave. Lord, I will follow you forever. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years. It's not only your time in the divine assembly. You are following forever. Exodus 19. We looked at this in parts. That should be 5 or 6. Verse 4. This is what was being told to them. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And we saw that this depicts salvation. Saved from, saved to. Power of darkness to light. Then 5 now says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, in this place that we read, what was the instruction for them to do? What were they told to do? Obey. And obedience is what? Believing. To obey is to believe. Was there any consequence attached here? Was there any consequence attached here? Can you see a consequence? Is there? In 5 and 6, what's the consequence? Any negative thing coming out from not obeying? No. But is there actually a consequence of not obeying? Yes, but it's not stated here. So this shows the, you know, when you are preaching to a man, and you're trying to get a man to believe the gospel, you don't threaten him with hell. And say, hey, you will burn, no. The fire is hot, oh, or something. Well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, what do you do? You present what God has done. Present what he needs. Not threats. But is there a consequence attached? Yes. But when the gospel is being presented, it's presented in an apologetic way to make a man accept, not to threaten him. Okay? So that's what we see here. We see that apologetic approach. Moses was trying to give them the gospel. This is salvation. We saw that. We saw it in Peter where it was written. However, the persons, by their response showed that they wanted to do something and they did not want to receive this as easily as that. Then let's go to chapter 20. Chapter 20, we'll now see the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is an explanation, as we have said this morning, of that same message, of that will. You won't see any consequence attached to it. we just see an amplification. Okay, this is actually what you need to do. But like we said, Moses is using physical things to teach them what? Spiritual realities. So now we are going to examine these things and see the spiritual significance or what Moses was actually saying using those physical things. Are we ready? Are we ready? All right, let's see the first one. First commandment. Number, that's chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So, what would this refer to? Of course, we said that it signifies or talks about faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Having no other God before me. First, proton. What has your heart? What occupies your heart? What? Who am I to you? You must have it first. You must know it first. Receive what I am. Receive what I am giving you. Nothing else before me. Nothing else before me. Let's see John 5. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And you read it down to verse 27, you will see what it's talking about. It's describing faith in God, believing. That's the first thing. Believe and have life. Nothing comes first before this. Believe in me. You will see it in John 3, 2, from verse 1 to 17. Well, I'll just read verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is John 3, 15 now, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we always see the first thing presented to man is always faith. Believe. Believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in me. You shall have no other God before me. See Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, you have no other God before me. There is no other alternative beside me. There is no other means of salvation outside me. That is what Moses was communicating. The epistles will show it clearly what is being said. Did we get that? That's the first commandment. Then, back to Exodus. Just if you can have a marker to keep Exodus somewhere, because we'll always be referencing it. Exodus 20. All right, what's the second commandment? What's the second commandment? Exodus 20. Unto thee, any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That means the second commandment is an instruction not to have a graven image. What does this mean? This is simply telling them not to have another Christ. Not to have another Christ. Don't expect another person or another solution outside Christ. Why? Colossians 1. Don't have any graven image. Simply means you do not have another Christ. Not expect another Christ. Colossians 1:13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who is the Son there? Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in whom we be who? Christ. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Christ was called what? The image of God. So who is the image of God? Christ. So not having any other image will be what? Do not expect another Christ. There is only one image of God. Wait for him. Expect it. You see the same thing in Hebrews 1 verse 3. Verse 2, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So it's clear that Christ is the image of God. So not having another image will be not to expect have another Christ. Just one. So expect Christ as God's image was what the what was being communicated there. All right, the third one, the third commandment, quickly write and open. Commandment number 3 was there. Third commandment was there. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, what does that mean? Does this mean that you should not call Jesus anyhow? Like, if you just be calling Jesus anyhow when you did not mean it, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Or many other things people have used that for. But what does the scripture tell us about that? Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. We simply mean, don't see what Christ has done as nothing. Don't see it as nothing. This is warning man of unbelief. You know the name of the Lord is not that J-E-S-U-S alone, or Jesu, or how your tribe calls it. No, it represents what he did for man. All that he did and the result of that. So taking that in vain, we'll be treating it as nothing. Christ died, was buried, resurrected for sins, was glorified for men, and then you are told that and you despise it. Let's see how the scripture puts it. Romans 2. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Open. Let's do this quickly. Romans 2, verse 4. It says, or despised thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So he's saying, don't despise God's longsuffering. This is shown in what Christ did. You despise it, you are refusing what he's offering. What he wants from you is repentance. Despising it, he's saying no. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1 to 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, in verse 3, what word there shows taking the name of the Lord in vain? Neglect. Do you understand? So neglect, despise, same thing. That is what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain, when you have a disregard of what he has done. Take what Christ has done for nothing. That's the characteristics of the man going to hell. You will see it in Hebrews 3, 2, 7, and 8. There, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So hardening of your hearts there will also mean to take the name of the Lord in vain. You have heard his voice. You have seen what he did. Yet, your response was not faith. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Did we get that? Good. Okay, commandment number 4. Back to Exodus. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, Sabbath means what? Rest. What is the Sabbath of God? It's not to be a source of debate which day should we worship or which day we should not worship and build an entire denomination on that. What is the Sabbath of God? Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Sabbath signifies rest. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. So rest signifies, or the Sabbath of God speaks of what God will do in Christ. It's what God will do in Christ that gives man rest. So it is not a particular day, whether it's Saturday, Friday, or Saturday, it speaks about salvation. Salvation. Let's see Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll start reading. So I'm reading from verse 1 to 11. Flip there, join me anywhere you see me. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if, whose name is there? Whose name is there? Or whose name should be there? Whose name should be there? For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Did Jesus give man rest? You just give man rest. Yeah, so what he was saying was, Moses and Joshua was talking about a rest of God. Rest, rest. From Genesis 1, there was a rest talked about. And Canaan was supposed to be their rest. They thought it was their rest. Now he's now saying, Joshua carried them into Canaan, right? Did Joshua take them into Canaan? Yes. So he's saying if that Canaan was the rest, then after they entered Canaan, there should be no prophecy should come again about another rest that they should enter. But even while they were in Canaan, David in Psalms said by utterance that today there's rest yet for you. There's still rest to be entered. So to show that it was not that rest, Canaan was not the rest. Then 9 now says, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. That one, will it be, is it what applies now? There remained a rest? No. So he's saying that because David said that, that means there was still a rest for them to have. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So rest is what Jesus did for man. Faith is how you assess it. Sabbath speaks about rest. And in this context, it says labor to enter into the rest. So labor there will be to labor on the scriptures, to search the scriptures, to see the intention of things. And what will you arrive at? Faith. Once you are in faith, you are in rest. Once you are in faith, you are in rest. So we have analyzed the first 4 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt have no God before me. What does it mean? Check. You need to know you are following me and you are understanding. You shall have no other God before me. What does it mean? What was Moses communicating? I shall have no other God before me. The first one. What is he speaking about? Outside Christ. Faith in God. Faith in Christ. No other means. Outside Christ. Number 2, thou shalt have no graven image. What does that mean? Do not expect another Christ. You cannot have another Christ. Christ is the only image of God. So don't take the name of the Lord in vain. What does it show? What is it showing to man? Do not take what Christ has done as nothing. Do not see it as nothing. Then the 4th one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does the Sabbath mean? Rest. And that rest is seen where? In Christ. Salvation in Christ. It's the rest. So, don't forget where we are starting from. The man came to Jesus and said, good master, what will I have? What should I do that I may have eternal life? And we've seen that the first 4 talks about faith in God. So if Jesus was to give him the first possible answer, where would Jesus' answer come from? Between number 1 to 4, right? Because that would now be faith in God. All right, let's see that. So, please note that if Jesus wants to respond to him as touching faith in God, he will quote one of the first 4 commandments. First 4 commandments. Please don't forget, when we are analyzing the first 4, you will see Christ as the center of it all. Christ, 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 Christ. Because God does not relate with man outside Christ. From the beginning, it has always been Christ. God doesn't relate with any man outside Christ. Okay, so Jesus, if he wants to talk to him about faith, he will answer from the first 4. But if it's going to be for the second, as in about love for men, then the answer will now be one of the last 6. Let's see Matthew 19. Back to Matthew 19. And he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. Matthew 19:17. This is Jesus' first response. He said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. His question was, I want eternal life. So we have seen that the answers can only be one of 2. Now we want to see what Jesus was now talking to him about. If he's as touching faith in God or love for men. Do you understand me so far? Okay. So Jesus now said, keep the commandments. 18. He said unto him, which? He's now asking him which one. Jesus now said, thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, Jesus' response, based on his response, what stream of answer was Jesus focusing on? The stream two, reward in salvation. If it was the first one, he will quote one of the first four. But we see him quoting from the second part. See Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 37. Or 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. So what did Jesus summarize in verse 34? How many commandments did he summarize there? Four. And all those things summarized as touching faith in God. Then he now says the second in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang what? Hang what? All the law and prophets. Jesus summarizes it as two commandments. Just two. Faith, love. The first one, faith in Christ. Second one, love for men. The every other thing is based on this. So, let us now see Matthew 19. Matthew 19, back to Matthew 19. 20 to 21. Matthew 19. Verse 20 to 21. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Then Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Let's see how Luke puts this. Luke 18. Luke 18. Luke 18. Verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. So Jesus said he's lacking something. He now says, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. So Jesus is telling him that he lacks one thing. But selling all that he has is not that thing he's lacking. Do you understand? That's not what he's lacking. He said, you are lacking one thing. Sell all you have, come follow me. So what is he lacking? Was he lacking? If Jesus is telling you that you lack one thing, but selling all that you have is not what you are lacking, no, but rather sell it and come follow me. So what will Jesus be speaking about? Verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This was now the man's response. He was sad. Then he went away because he was very, very rich. Now, what can make a person see the meaning of what Moses wrote? Don't forget, they had access to what Moses wrote, right? You err because you don't know the scriptures. It is that they did not know the scriptures, they did. So what were they lacking? The intention. And what can make you see that intention? No. You can see the intention of the scriptures from proper interpretation. That's rightly dividing. We have said that countless times. It is proper interpretation that will make you see the intention of the scriptures. See Luke 24. So let me just show you that clearly. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. This trust the disciples were having that he will physically redeem Israel. Where did they have it from? Where did they get that source of this, that trust from? From the scriptures. They've read about the Messiah, and their own expectation from the scriptures was a physical deliverance. So, what was Jesus' response? 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? A fool is what? Who is a fool? One who doesn't know or understand the intention of something. So that means what the disciples lacked was the proper intention. Then 27, how did Jesus help them? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he what? Expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Expounded there means explained, interpreted. That is explanation, proper interpretation. So it will take proper interpretation for you to see the intention of what Moses wrote. Proper interpretation. For you to see the intention behind what Moses wrote. For you not to just be seeing Sabbath day, Sabbath day, Sabbath day. Never discard Bible interpretation, proper Bible interpretation. Never. Never see that as unimportant. Never. Because I tell you the truth. Bad Bible interpretation will make people lose their inheritance in God. Bad Bible interpretation will give people, will make them spend so much time and energy on a work God did not send them. It can give a man a work to be maintaining salvation, all because of bad Bible interpretation. So that you don't run in vain or just do things on your own, proper Bible interpretation is always necessary. So we said that it takes accurate Bible interpretation to see the meaning of what Moses wrote. Now, this is what that man was lacking. This is what he was lacking. Accurate Bible interpretation. Because he was doing the physical things without understanding the intention. He said, what lack I yet? I'm doing everything that you said. As Moses said, honor this, don't kill, don't lie. I'm not doing any of that. And Jesus said, you still lack something. So, what Jesus now told him, what was the instruction of Jesus to cure that his malady or what is lacking? What was Jesus' remedy for him? Follow me. So, in following Jesus, he will have that proper interpretation. You see him explain, if eventually he would have understood the reason for the scriptures that he has been doing physically. The disciples who followed got that explanation. So Jesus was offering him discipleship. Discipleship, which will aid him in having full comprehension. This man knew the commandment integrated. You remember integration, right? But he did not know it differentiated. It was in church I learned that mass. Integration and differentiation. So what's differentiation? Anyway, I'm an expert on this mass I know. Let me explain to you. So integration is, this is supposed to be the main thing. Okay? Just assume this is the main thing. Now, integration will not be like anu to put all these things together with just this main thing. Do you understand? So is the main thing still there, but it's now covered in plenty additions. That's integration. Then what would differentiation now be? You remove this thing so that the glory here can indeed show. Amen? So that's differentiation. So what that man knew was the intention integrated in the Ten Commandments. He did not now know the pure intention. That's what I just said. So now let's analyze the second part. Wherever we stop, we'll just stop there. If thou shalt not bow to any other God, we mean faith in Christ. Huh? If thou shalt not bow to any other God, we mean faith in Christ. It also now means that thou shalt not steal cannot also now be referring to physical stealing alone. You get that? There must now be a spiritual reality that Moses is trying to convey with this physical commandment. Don't forget, I've said this countless times, Moses was using the natural to communicate the supernatural to them. There is something that exists before the Ten Commandments. And what is that? The intention of God. The gospel. And I told you the last time that, okay, we even said it today. Love is an offshoot of what? Faith in God. So can you have love without faith in God? Except it's not God's love. God's love is always about faith in God. That means, if that is the case, can the Ten Commandments be written to every man on earth? Can it? No. So God is not interested in giving one commandment to humanity, generally. This is a relationship-based instruction. Faith in God must be present, and then this is now an instruction to new creatures. So let's now analyze some of them. Thou shalt not steal is now beyond the natural. See Ephesians 4. Please help me. Let's do this quickly. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Okay. This looks like a long read. All right, let's read it together. So I'll read 17, you read the next one because we have to read to 32. Can't do it alone. Are we ready? Ephesians 4, I'm sure you're ready. So I'll read 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. 18. Who, being fast past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Now, what is he describing? The characteristics of who? Of the unbeliever. The man who has not believed. All right, 20. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. 22. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Mm-hmm. 27. Neither give place to the devil. 28. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 30. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 32. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So can you now see physical stealing here in the midst of plenty other things? But what are the negative actions he's describing? The character of the man in rebellion. And he's telling you not to act like that. You have put off the old man. That means, thou shalt not steal will now mean don't act what is not yours. Don't borrow the character that is not yours. When you are exhibiting these things, you have stolen. Who did you steal from? Who did you steal from? The men in unbelief. You are stealing their character. It's not yours. That's why he told you clearly, put it off, put it off, put it off. These are attributes of the old man. Attribute of the old man. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. 16 to 17. Galatians 5. 16 to 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that is clear. These are the characteristics of those who are not in the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So all this anger and cold that were written here, does a believer, or can a believer manifest these things? So when he's doing that, what is he doing? He's stealing. That is, thou shalt not steal. Don't copy what is not yours. Believers must not borrow the character of the flesh. Say, I want to get angry. You just decide by yourself, okay, I want to get angry. God, give me 5 minutes. Devil, bam, borrow me hunger. Let me show anew. Let me explain to her that I can craze too. What have you done? You have borrowed what is not yours. You have stolen. You have stolen. You see the same thing in Colossians 8. Colossians 3, 8 to 17. Colossians 3. It already tells you from verse 1 that if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Then verse 8 now says, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it now tells you what you should now put on. You see it there to verse 17. Showing you clearly that there are some characters that are not yours. Characters are not yours. So when you hear thou shalt not steal, it means don't pick a character that is not yours. Don't pick a character that is not yours. What is the identity of the believer? Righteousness. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Romans 6. See, same thing from verse 4. Now just read verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let me look at your Bible. And it shows you clearly who you are. You see in verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So he tells you that there's a clear difference between the believer and the unbeliever. So it is now beyond don't steal physical things. No. Malice, anger, wrath, seditions, several other things that are not the characteristics of the believer. Physical stealing is only a part of what you should not steal. Just a part. So Jesus or Moses was trying to explain to them that, hey, don't borrow the character that is not yours. Don't act like you are not a believer. No. You are. You are. That is how to see the intention of what Moses wrote. Are they physical? Yes. But much more, it communicates a reality which you must understand. The next part, we're going to stop here. The next part, we are going to continue. We will analyze, thou shalt not covet, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, and other parts. What is he really talking about? And you will see it clearly as or the true intention of what was documented. But how will a man know this? What was Jesus' answer? What was Jesus' answer to the rich man, rich young ruler? Follow me. And that is what? Discipleship. How will a man understand all this? The day you were born again, is that the day you understood all this? No. So Jesus was giving that man a ticket of discipleship. Come and follow me. Come and learn. Come and follow me. In following God, we follow who? In following God, we follow who? We follow men. Men, we can see clearly Christ in. Before you say, we are following men, so I should obey every man. Huh? Considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, their emphasis. Jesus, what they are telling you, come and see. Because it's still Jesus we are following today. And you have sung this morning, I will follow you and the men that you gave. And how long will you follow? Forever. Let's read this last scripture. John. We end here. John 21. This is discipleship. John 21. Our schedule for this week is quite straightforward. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Vigil, 9 p.m. Start early. Is that not easy enough? But of course, Monday, what do you have? Follow-up, evangelism, discipleship days. What we have every Monday, Friday evenings, Saturday evening. In fact, any day there is no church. Every evening. Edified assembly, according to pastor, your evenings are for who? Exactly. Your evenings are for the Lord. The time of the day suffices you to do all that you need to do. Amen? John 21, are you there? John 21. Verse 18. Let's read this together. John 21:18. Are we ready? All right, let's go. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So, like I told you, gird, that's G-I-R-D. What does it mean? To dress you up, to prepare you. To prepare you. In the physical, maturity is when you can do things by yourself. Nobody tells you what to do. You are your own man. You are your own person. Independence. Pam, pam, pam. I'm free. I'm free indeed. When you're no longer under your parents, that is your sign of maturity. That is not so in the spiritual. The spiritual, the proof of maturity is that you can take instruction. This part of glory is a part of discipleship. A person who cannot listen and take instruction will fall on this part. Because Jesus described this part as come and follow. 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 Not be your own person. Follow. People ask, how can I ensure that I am getting better in ministry? How can I? It's very easy. It's actually very easy. Just do as you are told. As in, you have a disciple that is sound, that is not after his personal whatever. He's not trying to use you to get crowd or anything. He just wants to see Christ formed in you, right? What should not be your response? Do as you are told. If you do as you are told, is it possible that you will not excel in on this part? Is it possible? No. Don't forget, on this part of glory, this part of discipleship, maturity is not defined in you having your way. Maturity is seen in submission. Someone else will prepare you. Someone else determines what will make you ready. Someone says, this is what you need. And like I told you, you have submitted to structures before. You did not join your university to design your school curriculum. You only came and you say, I want to be a doctor. And they told you, okay, to be a doctor, 7 years. You will do unnecessary courses in 100 level. You did not say, I don't need it. I only came to read medicine. Why are you telling me to do GST? I will not do. What will happen? You will not graduate for one nonsense GST. The school will be there. But you write it and submitted yourself to that structure. Why? Because you wanted to be a doctor. So this part where is not where you are a co-designer. And if you have been given men by God to grow you up, it's not you that will now start doing. If trust me, if we were all asked to have our way, if you say, okay, do as you like. Do the one that is okay for you. Do the one that is convenient for you. How many of you will submit to the structure we have here? At least one person should raise up hand now. If they say, do, just give you as an option. Say, do as you like. This is our structure. If you like, do. If you like, don't do. How many of you will do? Okay, just one person. It is well. Anyway, so it's not for you to like it. It is that you are told to get you ready for this. According to what we have here, this is the path. What will not be your option? If you say, but don't forget, it's still discipleship. You must submit to discipleship. Whether you do it here, you do it there. Just ensure you are being trained indeed. Not everybody has the same pattern. But what must be obviously there, that you are being monitored and your disciple is ensuring that you are progressing on this part. Do you understand? So this part of glory is a part of discipleship. But don't worry. It might look like it's stupid, but it's a ticket to glory. It's a ticket to glory. It's a ticket to excellency in God. The easiest way for you. Easiest. Don't rack your brain. Don't think too much. Another will guide you. Another will tell you, this is what you need. Trust in that. I will follow you and the men that you gave. I will follow you forever. This path of glory is not a path where we choose our own ease. It's not a path where we choose what we like. It's a path of discipleship. It's a path of discipleship. Let's be on our feet. The path of discipleship. Continue next time on thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, and the rest is. But we see clearly what Jesus wanted the man to have. Jesus did not exclude anybody from discipleship. Hope you know. When they came, and if, do you know that if Jesus was responding to every man based on what they wanted to hear, how many disciples would Jesus have when he was about to leave? How many? If this one say, our own is bread, he gives them bread. This one say, we want zobo, he gives them zobo. This one say, we want shawarma. He says, I am thy shawarma provider. Whatever you need, your sufficiency is me. I will give you all that you need. And Jesus was just giving to each man as he needed. How many disciples will be there on Pentecost? So, So Jesus already showed us that it is not about, it's not a function of giving. Remove it from your mind. It's not a function of what I want. I know many of us are strong-willed, as in, as I've said, as I've spoken, so shall it be now, forever, world without end. Amen. But on this path of glory, that one can walk outside, though. Do you understand? Please, if you are bosses at your work, do your bosses well. Boss it, I'll be saying, this is my company, I run it, well, do all your, go and do that one there. Go and exercise your service outside. But on this path of glory, what must you do? You submit to the structure placed before you. That's what Jesus. Jesus did not give any man an exception to say, do what you like. That's why they define assembly. We don't give options and choice. Say, if you like. No, we tell you this is the structure. You're not doing it. It's a proof, it's a stamp on your head that you are what? Rebellious. It's just, you're just putting it on your head like a sticker. I am rebellious. I'm rebellious. Because we gave no man that option to be independent of discipleship. You must. You must. Me, myself, I am going through the same discipleship. I received my own hacking. Don't think we are all free. Your pastor too does. So you too must what? Must do. The function will not be who now tells you what to do. Simple. Not that you are taking instructions, but the men that you gave. Recognize those men. Abi, I will follow you and the men that you give. I will follow you. How long? Forever. Just lift up your hands and commit yourself again to this part. I'm not wise in my own eyes. We sang it we sang it together. Say, I will not be full of my own devices. I will not be full of my own devices. You just like what you want. Okay, I know you want to help me, but can't it also be in a way that I can like? Ah! You're not ready, oh. You're not ready. Count the cost again. Jesus said, if any man will follow him, count the cost. Pick up your cross and follow. This is what it will entail, I'm telling you. So commit yourself again. Lord, I'm not full of my own devices. I'm not full of my own devices. A confession you need to be making to yourself every time. I'm not full of my own devices. I'm not full of my own ways. I'm not full of my own ways. I'm not just interested in what I want. No, I'm interested in what you want. And I'm interested in what you have said and given me to ensure I get it. Simple. That is a believer. God will judge your leaders for how they led you. He will judge you for how you follow. Each man has his own path. Each man has his own. 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 Oh, we are not full of our own devices. We recognize that God calls the shot. See, you've sang it. He said God calls the shot. He says, hey, this is it. This is it. This is the part. God calls the shot. Are you sure you recognize it? Or you are a co-shot caller? Both of you are calling the shots together. Say, ah, let it be like this. 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 No. God calls the shot. God calls the shot. And you're not full of your own devices. You're not full of your own devices. Not full of your own devices. Oh, I'm not full of my own devices. I'm not full of my own ways. There's a way that seemed right to a man. Yes, but that end is destruction. We are not such men. That is the way of a carnal man. No, we are not such men. We are not such men. We are not. 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 We recognize God's gift to us. And on this path of glory, our hearts are humble to receive it. To receive it. To receive it. Just lift up your hands and say, I'm not full of my own ways. Say, I'm not full of my own ways. Say it again. I'm not full of my own ways. I'm not full of my own ways. You are not called to chart your course. You are not called to chart your course. On this path, it's never about what you want. Never. 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 Let's just sing that song together and then we'll close. Whatever you say, whatever you lead, Lord, instant in obedience.
And I will follow you forever.
I want to be yours. I'm going to be yours.
I'm gonna be yours for life.
My life is dedicated to you.
I'm taking my cross
and I will follow you.
And I
Whatever you say, wherever you lead.
Ah. Lord, I am instant in obedience, and I will follow you forever.
You know you are not an atheist, right? Do you hear what you sang? Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Wherever you want, you lead. Where is your choice inside that? Whatever you say, wherever you
lead. Lord, I am instant in obedience, and I will follow you forever.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, this is our confession, is what we remind ourselves of daily. We will not waste our days. We will not wait. We have prayed that 50 years to come, 80 years to come, we'll see ourselves on this path. We will. We will. We will. We will. We will. Stubbornness will not make us opt out of this path. Wanting what we like will not make us opt out of this path. Wanting it to be done our way, what is pleasant for us, will not push us out of this path. No. It will not. Whatever you say, wherever you lead, we are instant in obedience. We follow you and the men that you gave. This is our testimony. And we know that the end of this path for us is glory. Is glory. Oh, is glory. Is glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, thank you for coming. Now, I told you this morning, I said, let your eyes see glory. Glory is not, glory is not missed, though. You know, if you want to do effects here now, we'll just put one smoke thing, and you'll, every year you'll become like this. We'll not tell the violin, everybody will say, ah, glory is here. No, that's the kind of man. Glory. Let your eyes see glory on this part. See it. See it. It will help you. See it. See, this is the final assembly. If you have something to give, you know how we give here, please.